feel tonight.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. To worship Him. He is worthy of our worship. And there's so many people in the world today that have idols and have those that they look up to, but there's really only one who deserves the worship of humanity.
Right.
And you know what? I came here tonight with the desire to have for Him to have preeminence among us tonight. And so I want to encourage you just to make yourself at home. I want to welcome the visitors, and some may have been here before, maybe not, but God bless each one of you. I know that many have driven many hours, including Brother Ben and his wife. Amen. So, but you know what? A lot of efforts have gone forth into these meetings this weekend. And God knows the hearts of His people. He knows the desire they have. We don't want a big something or another. We just want fellowship with God, fellowship with each other, and His blessing among us.
Amen.
That's what matters. Yeah. And so we're going to believe tonight that the Lord will speak to our hearts. I believe that He long ago prepared tonight for every one of you, that every one of you can walk away with the desire of your heart, whatever it would be, whether it be guidance in direction of a decision to make in life, or maybe a need physically, a healing, whatever it may be. The fountain is open.
Yeah.
Right? All things are possible to them that believe. And so we're gathered here in His name tonight, and He said He would be in our midst. Believe it?
He is.
And we're going to worship Him. Let's just bow our hearts in prayer. Ask that He would just come. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful tonight, Lord, for Your blessings that You have allowed us, Lord, to come together in this place. Lord, to be as Your sheep gathered, Lord, at Your banquet table. And tonight, Lord, we do believe that You have prepared something special for us. God, the hearts of Your people are looking with great expectation. And so we know that You always meet the needs of Your people. And so, Lord, as we come into Your presence tonight, we just want to open up our hearts, open up our arms, Lord, and just ask God that You would move. Lord, we have a request for Sister Brittany, Lord, that the little child in her womb, Lord, that You would move, God, that You would touch in this situation. Regardless of what the doctors have declared, we ask God that You would move and answer the request of Your people. And Lord, in all this trial that they're going through, we pray, God, that You would take away the fear. God, because You have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And so, Lord, we do ask that You would bless Matthew and Brittany with this need that they have. And Lord, we ask that You would bless Brother Claude's wife, Sister Ginger, as she has just been dealing with this migraine headache tonight. Lord, we just know that You walked up Calvary for her, that Your stripes, Lord, that she is healed with them, and we ask, Lord, that You would touch her also. We believe tonight that You'll move in the midst of Your people. Commit this time into Your hands. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Tim's going to lead us in some songs, and we want you to worship the Lord because He inhabits the praises of His people.
That's right, exactly.
Thank you.
Sing tonight. We'll sing a song or two before we get into preaching the word of the Lord. But so glad to be with you again. Amen. Back here at the first annual fellowship meeting, I think that's what y'all are calling this, right? I certainly appreciate y'all inviting us to come and be a part of that. Brother Tony, the church body, it's good to see Brother Claude and the Bartlesville family. Amen. You notice I didn't say the church back there, I said family. That's the way I feel about it. Amen. And we love y'all and glad y'all got to come and be a part, and all the other visitors, the Lord bless you tonight, and home folk and what more. And we certainly appreciate the Lord tonight, don't we?
Amen.
Looking forward to what God will speak to us and what He'll give to us over the weekend. So we'll sing a little bit and be right in the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight.
To see.
Speak to you tonight on the seven golden lampstands. Seven golden lampstands. You may think you're a candlestick. You might be a candlestick, but God is lampstands. You'll see why after a while. Revelation 1, let's look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. I want you to listen to that one more time. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. The actual right interpretation is lampstands.
Yes,
lampstands. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy tonight, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Oh God, my Father, as we come into your presence tonight, Lord, we realize that there's all kinds of little things that Satan will try to do to hinder each one of us tonight from receiving Thy promised word. But I pray tonight that You would take all of those little hindrances and move them aside. May our minds and our hearts enter into the preaching of the word tonight, that we might receive from the bread of life as You would break it to us tonight. I submit myself to You as the speaker, and I submit them as hearers, that You will take Your word tonight, and that You will speak to us lip to ear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you. Brother, if you will, bring the monitors up really hot for me tonight, okay? This up here. Bring it up nice and loud. Amen. Revelation 1, verse 12 again. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. You know, the book of Revelation is a wonderful book, especially for people that believe we're living in the Laodicean church age, because we realize that God for 2,000 years kept seven padlocks on this book of Revelation, or seven seals on this book of Revelation.
That's right.
And did not reveal to us what was in the contents of this book until the time of the end. The things that was laying in there by symbols, mysteries of God, and so forth, they were just laying in there. We had no understanding at all of what they meant. As a matter of fact, if you'd asked the Apostle Paul, Paul had been living at the time John wrote this letter, and said, "Now, Paul, you are the man that God has called to set the pattern for the rest of these Gentile church ages. You're the one that's got the mystery of God for the day. Paul, what do you think it means?" If you'd have read John's letter, he'd have to say, I just got to be honest with you, Brother Ben, I don't know what it means.
Right.
If you'd ask Peter, for example, the man that had the keys to the kingdom, God gave him the keys that he might open up the way of eternal life for whosoever will. And yet if you'd ask Peter, the man that had the key, what John's writing would have meant, he would have had no understanding whatsoever.
That's right.
If you'd ask John himself, the writer of this book of Revelation, what did it mean, John? What did all those symbols mean and all those certain things in there? What did it mean? I don't believe John could have answered honestly that he even had a revelation of the very vision that God had given him in the beginning.
Right.
But for what they couldn't say amen to, and what they couldn't say, I understand it. You and I can raise our hand tonight and say, we understand what this book means.
Hallelujah.
Now, there's mysteries contained in there, and we could spend years after year after year after year. We could spend literally years unfolding all that lays in this book. And to me, it's a prophetic book that comes to a prophetic class that must be revealed by a prophet of the Lord.
Right.
Now, we recognize that in these seven church ages that we live in, each spot of time or each Gentile dispensation, it represents a certain message that God will give to those people. Now, for example, when Paul is bridging the gap between the Jews over to the Gentiles, he says, "Now it has been given unto me to be able to exhort to you the things that you have to know." Because he said, these things were hidden from you, from sages, from generations, and bishops, and hierarchies, and so forth. He said, but now the mystery is being made manifest, which he tells the Colossians is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So all of these things were hid in this great being, this eternal that we call God. And in this great eternal, he is now beginning to unfold himself down through these ages, starting with the Apostle Paul. Now, as these ages propagate and as they go from one age to another to another to another, we realize that there'll be mystery truths that'll be lost down through those ages, down through the dark ages and so forth. And it will be restored to us by Martin Luther, John Wesley, some of the revival meetings that started there in California, Azusa Street, the restoration of the gifts, the great moving of God. But then Malachi 4 and 5, as we well know, promises that God would send Elijah to do what? To turn the heart of the children back to the Father. Now you recognize that in order for it to be children, they must come from the source, which is God. For you to be a child, you must come from a father. So for the children to be turned back to the Word, then it must be a call back to what they really were before they came into this world, a wise singer, a Norod, or whatever they came in. Before the foundation of the world, God had you in His mind. God had you as an attribute. You was a part of Him. You was eternal in His mind before the foundation of the world. And so God sends this message then to call us back to that which was in the beginning, back before you took the breath of life. Now, this end time call, this last day call, is to gather together not the churches of the world. We see this great move in the last day of the ecumenical system, World Council of Churches, and we see this one gathering, that one gathering, this person coming here, and this person coming there, and they're all rallying around saying, oh, isn't it wonderful? All of the people are coming together. But the bride of Jesus Christ knows better than that. She knows that before Christ the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth, before he comes back to receive this living bride into the rapture resurrection, that there must come a great falling away first. That man will leave the word, will leave the true revelation of this message and literally burn out, as it was, or play out altogether and have no life-giving source to continue them on into the revelation. Listen, friend, this bride of Jesus Christ will not stop at the rapture resurrection from receiving revelation. As a matter of fact, after the bride is raptured, the rapture itself, of course, is a revelation. And even after she's raptured, she will go up into a realm and revelation will continue to unfold even after her body has been changed. Why is that? Yes. Because down within her is a renewable source of God, or an eternal source that just keeps filling back up. It doesn't play out. It doesn't burn out. Amen. It just keeps restoring over and over and over again. Aren't you thankful for it? Now, you remember the book of Isaiah teaches us, of course, that if a man will wait upon the Lord, and we all know the scripture, they that wait upon the Lord, we sing the song, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. But you realize that's only for a certain type of person. It is a certain type of nature, a God-given nature, that can wait on the Lord and actually be restored back to what they was before they entered into a down time or a low time, or what we'd say backslidden time or cold on the Lord time. So this person that is this lampstand, they are renewable. They may be out and down and out. They may be discouraged and all that. But you just give them just one little refilling of the Holy Ghost and they're right back up on the mountain where they was before they hit that low spot. Now you realize that's a great difference between a candle. A candle hears something about a bridge or something about a bear or something about something else, and they burn out. They fizzle out. They cannot continue into the revelation because the candle burns from the outside in. But the lampstand burns from the inside out. I'm going to tell you something, friends, and this will be very clever. The one we're going to find out before this age ends, before the termination of this age comes, we're going to find out that the biggest problem we had around the ranks of this message is that people never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. Preachers didn't have it. Lay folk didn't have it. Singers didn't have it. Deacons, trustees, all these people were sitting around believing God sent a prophet, believe in revelation, believe, but had never been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm going to tell you, brother, if we don't have the Holy Ghost, if we're not born again in the Spirit of God, John himself said, if you have not the Spirit, then you can be none of Christ. I don't want to go out in this world as being just a good intellectual. Right. I don't want to just find the word of this day to be something I learn about. I don't want to just learn how to be a good neighbor and learn how to love my wife or learn how to be a good Christian or learn. Listen, learning is wonderful, but brother, there's a stage that goes beyond just learning this word, where there's things that God speaks to your heart and reveals to you that you couldn't explain it if you tried. Right. There are revelations that God gives to you and I that we can't even put in words, Brother Tony. Right. There's things that God does for us, we can't even explain it. What do you think it means? I don't know. What do you think you know? And that is a lampstand. That is the kind of Christian that will burn on and on and on and on and on.
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to be one of those. How about you?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, notice this. I just want to focus in on this for just a moment. Now, a candlestick is different than a lampstand in these terms. A candlestick, if you'll notice it, its power comes from the external. In order to get a candle to light, it takes a wick, of course. It takes the buildup of wax. But in order to light that candle, you must move from the outside to burn to the inside. Now, if you'll notice, once it burns down, it's gone. Many of you sisters know how it is. You burn candles in your home or wherever you're at. And you take them candles that burn down and it waxes down. It melts every which way. You take it and throw it in the garbage can. But a lampstand in the Old Testament, as John has seen these seven golden lampstands, is much different. The reason of it being because this lampstand is designed with a renewable and refillable source. You know, I think it's amazing the day we're living in that there's so much talk about renewable energy. There's so much talk about renewable sources. I am so glad and thankful to the Lord Jesus
that the bride of Jesus Christ has the greatest renewable source that has ever been given to the hands of mankind.
Amen.
And it ain't a bunch of head knowledge, it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now, you recognize that as children of God, we're living in a time, friends, where people are here today and gone tomorrow. Now you see them, now you don't. Why is that? Because they're actually candlesticks in their experience. Now, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 25, let me just show you briefly what I'm talking about. Now, we know that at the time that the bridegroom calls, that Jesus himself begins to open up the revelation of who he is. That there's two groups that show up at the call of the bridegroom. He says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Now, you notice this call that Jesus is using in this parable. It awakens those that are asleep. Now, if you'll notice real carefully now, we're going to start here, and I want to pick this up in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord helping us now at verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Now, notice, not candlesticks now, but they were designed in a way that they could have been filled, but yet they were the ones that lacked that refilling. Now notice, it wasn't the lamb's fault. It wasn't their fault specifically as far as maybe their makeup or how they thought. They just simply didn't take any oil. They wasn't trying to reject the oil. They wasn't trying to forget about it altogether. They just simply did not take it.
Right.
You know, there's people in this world, brother, sister, that don't mean to do the things they do. They make decisions and you think, why in the world did they make that decision? They can't help it. They're not doing it to be crass or rude or mean or skeptical. They just simply don't do the things they ought to do to go on further with the Lord. Now, these virgins, they weren't a bunch of people that walked around, you know, blaspheming God and so forth, but they were clean living people. But notice, they had the ability to be refilled, but yet they themselves didn't take enough oil to be able to sustain their journey.
Right.
Now, notice, it wasn't that there wasn't oil there for them. It wasn't that the oil wasn't available. They themselves did not take enough to be able to sustain in life. Do you realize there are many things that you and I do in this life right here that God himself would open up the very windows of heaven upon you and I if we would simply ask him for the great blessings, for revelation, to pray for God, to open up his word, to give us understanding, give us faith, give us joy, give us all these things. If we would only stop and just ask him, "Lord, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I need mercy in my life. I need grace for other people. I need you to come right down and fill up my heart with the baptism of the Holy Ghost over and over and over again." You know, some people don't get it because they simply don't ask for it.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Now, notice now, verse 4, "The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh.'" Now, watch carefully. "Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." And trimmed their lamps. "And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.'" Now the original Greek, if you'll read this in the original writings of this, it's not gone out, but it's going out.
That's right. Yeah.
So they're actually beginning to phase out. All that they had is running to an end.
Right.
And you know what happens when people start running out of stuff? They get real nervous and make bad decisions. Praise the Lord. Now maybe y'all ain't like I am, and when I run out of money, I start making bad choices. Or run out of friends, you make bad choices. Come on, don't get quiet on me. You know what I'm talking about. That's exactly the way we do things. And these people are no different. They're human beings that will make bad decisions. Now notice, their lamps are going out, but the wise had a reservoir of oil that they could refill. Now, if you'll notice in the way that this is worded here, they rise to trim their lamps. Now, the way that this lampstand is actually designed, there's one great stand right here in the middle, and it's all hollow, with 7 hollow branches on either side to make, or 6 branches rather, to make up all of the, what they call the menorah. And some of you, I'm probably sure, familiar with the picture of the tabernacle, and you see that candlestick setting there. And you'll look and see on the top of it, right in the middle, is a great big bowl. Now, what would happen is the priest then would take olive oil and fill it into that bowl. It would drop down that main reservoir. It would fill up to the rest of them branches. And they would take a wick and stick it down in each one of those lampstands. Now, if you remember now that when the priest began to take the fire and light those lampstands, it was not his own fire, but it was the fire of God come down. And it would take from the fire of God, amen, and it would begin to light up each one of those stands off of the original visitation of the fire in the tabernacle. I'm going to tell you, brother, there's a lot of people around this world that want an intellectual move. They want to sit in church and they don't want to pull on the word. They don't want to say amen, kind of like some of y'all tonight. They want to have an intellectual revival. They want to sit back and not pull on anything of God, not press into the word. But let me tell you, brother, sister, God wants you to have every little something that God can give to you. Amen. He wants you to have blessing, joy, and all on top of that. He wants you to have a part of the original fire that fell on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
I want you to know this last day bride has a right to the pillar of fire. She has a right to a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I want all that I can get from him tonight.
Right.
So the priest wasn't lighting his own fire and taking it lighting these lamps, but he was actually taking it right off the altar of God, where the priest would take it from where God himself would light up the fire. And the priest would go over and grab a piece of that fire and he would light the first wick. Now that wick burning down, if you'll notice how this represents each one of those ages, as he says in the book of Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him, not them, not they, not you know, a group of men or something like that, but he. So the initial man or God's messenger, one of those seven stars, would hear the message. And he would be lit at the top of that wick by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And then as he burned down, it would go from the messenger of the day down to pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. Then it would spread to housewives and factory workers and farmers and painters.
All right. Amen.
But at that initial burning, the man would hear from Almighty God what the Spirit was saying to the church of that day. And once the Holy Spirit would reveal himself to that man, he was set afire with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How in the world do you think Martin Luther stood up against the Catholic Church and tacked his 95 theses on the door? How in the world could that happen? Intellectual won't prove that to a man. Intellectual won't motivate or inspire a man. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
It takes more than just being inspired by some historic literature. But a man like that had to be set on fire. His wick had to be lit on fire. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And brother, if you're ever going to make this message live, you've got to be set on fire just like they were.
Amen. Yes, sir.
My, praise the Lord. Now notice this, Brother M says, page 50 in the Church Age book, he said, now John turned to see the seven golden candlesticks. He said, actually, there were lampstands. Now according to verse 20, he says, now they sell the seven candlesticks thou sawest represent the seven churches. Now to represent the churches, they could hardly be candles because a candle will burn out after a while. After a while, and then it burns out, it dies. I am not a candle.
Right.
I do not intend on burning out.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the more evidence they try to prove this message wrong, the brighter we burn.
Right.
Praise the Lord, somebody. The more they come against God's last day messenger this age, the brighter this bride will burn. The darker it gets, the more she'll light up Laodicea with the glory of Almighty God. And I'll tell you before it even happens, friends, the real bride of Jesus Christ will come to a showdown. It'll be a showdown between Jesus and them denominations, and who do you think's going to prevail? It'll be those and those alone. Amen. That are baptized with the Holy Ghost, that have got the pillar of fire down inside of their soul. That's the ones that will come out in the end to be on the right side.
Amen. That's right.
That's why I believe a man could have a touch of the Spirit of God on his life even before he even knew William Branham was even on this earth. Because any true seed of God is an absorbent for the Spirit of God. Come on. Amen. And once that Spirit falls on him, glory, once the Holy Ghost falls on him, it only takes him just a little bit of while, just a little bit of time before that anointing takes them higher and higher and higher and higher.
Amen.
And they're never going to burn out.
That's right.
Amen. Come on.
Praise the Lord. They're never going to burn out. Don't expect this bride to burn out. She's not a candlestick. She's a lampstand.
Amen.
Imagine sometimes the devil looks at us, Brother Tony, and says, I about got him whooped this time.
Uh-oh.
It's over with. It's done. I might as well just write his name, just wipe him off the board altogether. He's done. I heard him say in the office the other day, if this is what serving God is, I don't want nothing more about it. And all of a sudden, the devil gets a report from one of the demons that's been aggravating you at your house. He says, you ain't never going to believe this. So, well, what? Well, what is it? Man, you know how he's about ready to throw in the towel and quit? He was sitting in church the other day, and that preacher struck a chord with him. Amen. And all of a sudden, he got this big, happy look on his face. He raised his hands and said in his breath, if this is what serving God is, I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Why? Because he's a lampstand. He's a lampstand for the cloth. He's not a candlestick. He ain't here today and gone tomorrow. He don't blow like the chaff of wind. Amen. But he keeps burning on and on and on. And when your reservoir gets low and your lamp is going out, there's a little extra supply for the bride. And all you have to do is ask him for a refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Amen.
Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Can I ask you a question, friends? Why do people hate the moving of the Holy Ghost so much? You ever stop to wonder why some of these people around this message have gotten so formal and so backward? Speaking in tongues? Unnecessary. Prophecy? Thing of the past. Raising of the dead? Well, if they're really dead, maybe we might think about it. That is, we take them to every doctor and make sure they're really dead first. Casting out devils? Well, people can figure out how to, you know, help and enrich their life so they can get them old spirits away from them. Why do we hate the supernatural around this message so much? You know why? Because the devil knows that the bride is truly an absorbent for the Spirit of God. That the only way that she can understand the revelation of the day is if she enters into that anointing. Let me tell you, you will not enter into it by intellectual. You will not enter into it by formal preaching and formal talks. And just reading a bunch of quotes and reading a bunch of scriptures and taking this part of history and that. All that's wonderful. Thank God for every bit of it. But if John had to get in the Spirit to receive this revelation, you and I must be in the Spirit to understand it. Come on, somebody. That's the reason people hate the moving of the Spirit of God. Preachers want you to sit there and not say amen, not pull on the word. I'm exactly the opposite. I feel like you cheat yourself if you come to the house of God and check out as it was. I believe if a man will press into the Spirit of God and press into the anointing and press into the power of the Holy Ghost, that it won't just be a rain on his flesh, but it'll absorb that word. Amen. And as he absorbs that anointing, it'll take him higher and higher and higher into the presence of God. This message wasn't given to us by a bunch of intellectuals, and it won't go out like that.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Notice John looks and sees not candlesticks, but lampstands. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. Why is it a lampstand? Because he says it possesses a lasting quality not found in believers, in candles rather. Believers possess a lasting quality not found in candles.
Right.
Now that goes to show you the foolish virgin were a bride pattern because they had the ability to be refilled. They just didn't take any oil with them. As I said, who knows? Maybe it was just some mistake. They didn't do it to be bad people. Some of these folks don't get out here and join organizations and that sort of thing to be a bad person. A woman don't go to the Catholic nunnery because she's trying to be a bad woman.
Right.
She's doing all that she knows how to do to try to get that much closer to the Lord Jesus. But the problem is for him, the real bride of Jesus Christ will be the only ones that can see that trap of the devil. And listen, organized religion, whether it's in a formal way or an intellectual way, is just as antichrist in the ranks of this message as it is out there in the Baptist or the Presbyterian or any other way. We are not formal people. We are not formalized religion. But we are off that original fire. Amen.
Amen.
That death of the day of Pentecost. And this real bride, she is full of the ignition power, the launching power.
Amen.
So when the countdown is on tonight, brother, sister, for you and I to take a journey out of this world, and you've got to be loaded up with rocket fuel. You've got to be loaded up with Holy Ghost rocket fuel, and you've got to have a spark to get you out of here.
Amen.
Some people sit in the house of God. Did you get anything out of that? No. You? I didn't get a thing out of it. Well, I wonder why. Wonder why.
Think about it.
It's hard for a Holy Ghost filled man to communicate to you Holy Ghost filled things when you ain't in the same spirit of what's being preached.
That's right.
Makes it easy for an intellectual to gather a church of intellectuals if he's intellectual.
Oh, yeah.
But let a man full of the Holy Ghost try to gather a church.
Right.
He'll have them in today, out tomorrow. They'll love him today and hate him tomorrow. They'll call him the greatest thing ever struck the face of the planet. By that evening, sometimes he's the biggest devil they've ever seen. Why? They're not in the spirit of what's being preached. They have no understanding of what the man's trying to bring, because they're trying to go up into a spiritual realm by the way of intellect.
Right.
But if a real child of God, listen, brother, you may not be able to quote your Bible with your eyes closed. You may not be able to remember one scripture. But if you enter into that spirit, you can get greater revelations far beyond what any intellectual could ever understand. Why? Because it's not being interpreted by some intellectual. It's being interpreted by the Holy Ghost himself.
Amen.
Oh my, notice the lasting quality of the believer. She is a lampstand. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Not a candle, but she is a lampstand. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Now, notice this, how Isaiah, now this is a scripture we use often referring to the Gentiles. And truly it is the Gentile scripture of the Spirit of the Lord moving upon us as the Gentiles into this great light of God. And when we look at this light, I want you to notice Isaiah 60, verse 1. He says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Now the two words that he uses here, shine and light, is actually one Greek word, or one Hebrew word. And it means simply to become the light. To become the light, or light of face. Now you realize that if a man doesn't have a face, he could have a brain, he could have arms, he could have all of his faculties as far as his cells and all that to go, but if he don't have a face, you really don't know much about him. He's got to have a mouth to communicate. He's got to have eyes to perceive who you are. He's got to have ears to be able to hear your talk and your fellowship. He's got to be able to sit down at a table and maybe taste of the showbread or taste of the breaking of the bread. In order to really get into divine fellowship, that person has got to have a face. Could you imagine if we come to church tonight, I didn't have a face and you didn't have a face? I guess we'd have a right to have a staring contest then. That is, if we had eyeballs to stare with. Well, if you don't have no face, you don't even know who I am. How can you call me Brother Ben when you really don't know if I am or not? I look just like you. I look like everybody else. But notice, when the age of the Gentiles is breaking and the light of God is breaking. Remember, John said, as Jesus came to the world, he said, the people that sat in darkness, are you with me?
Right.
They saw great light.
Amen.
Now, how did they see the light of God? It was manifested in a face.
Amen.
Everybody
right.
Hang on.
Right.
But this last day, we have seen that same return of the revealing yes. of the face yes. of the Son of God. Do you realize that's why these bunch of devils out here want to call it rocket ship smoke and throw it off to some deal out there by science? But that cloud that showed up there in Arizona, that was not a rocket ship. That was the face of my Lord Jesus. Amen. That was the revelation of the face of Almighty God. And we know in the last day that the light of God will come when? In the evening time when things are getting so bad, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Just enough light to be able to join church and become a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or whatever you might be. But the light of the face, amen to God, it reveals the very inner parts of Almighty God himself. His very thoughts, his feelings, how he talks, how he thinks, everything about it.
Amen.
So Isaiah says, arise and shine. You become the light of the face.
Amen.
That's what God's doing with you and I tonight. He's filling us with his light.
Yep.
He's filling us with his oil.
Yep.
And we are becoming the light of God to this last day.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Matthew chapter 24 verse 12. Notice these words that Jesus says here now. Matthew 24 verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know what candlesticks do, don't you? They wax when they get cold.
That's
what candlesticks are, wax. You'll never find the bride waxing anywhere. Praise the Lord. She's not going to wax anything. She's going to keep burning on and on and on and on.
Right.
But the rest of this group, they wax.
Yeah, surely do.
They love the message today, they hate it tomorrow.
Right.
They love the pastor today, they hate it tomorrow. They love this guy today, they hate that guy tomorrow. They believe it's absolutely the truth and would give their life for it. And tomorrow they think they've been deceived all the years they've heard it.
Yep. Right.
Why? Because they've waxed Their candle is burning down to the end. Do you realize?
That's right.
This is the reason why so many people have walked away from this great truth. It's not because we should have been expecting this in one way, friends, because the Bible told us there would come this falling away. But do you realize why we're seeing it now? Many of them have came to the end of their wick. They've come to the end of their wick. They can't burn them under the cloth. They've come down to the last of their strength. And if they're coming to the last, that means the bride must be there too. Amen. If they're coming to the end of their wick, that means we must be getting ready to be raptured out of here. Amen. Matthew 24:12 again, because iniquity shall abound. Now what is iniquity? Iniquity is a no to do something and fail to do it.
Yep.
You say, well, Daddy was a Baptist and Mama was a Methodist and Grandpa was a Presbyterian and all that sort of thing. You know, I've heard about this Holy Ghost all my life, but I just remember, friends, goats are the one that butt.
Right.
Sheep say, amen.
That's right. Amen.
It'd be nice for some of you sheep to say something to them, amen, tonight.
Amen. That's right.
Huh? I go, but. No. That's a candle. That's waxing cold because you know to do better and you refuse to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Praise Brother Bush.
Amen.
Thank God we're here. Woo, thank you, Lord. Now, notice verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I had a gospel fit when I found the definition of this word. I had always thought I knew what this meant until the other day. Now, I was studying on this, and I was getting ready to bring a little teaching or a Bible study on Monday night. And as I got ready to go into this part about the lampstands, the Holy Ghost led me right over to this verse right here, and I thought, that's the strangest thing in the world. This has nothing to do with a lampstand. I looked at that word endure, and I thought, well, that makes sense. You know, a person just kind of go on. It seemed like the Spirit of the Lord just kept dealing with me, Brother Claude. Keep looking at it. So I opened up this little file, and I pulled up the Greek word, and I started looking, and I fell upon these words. The word endure is the Greek word phos, which is fire, light, or light emitted by a lamp.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Do you understand the only ones that are going to make it to the end are lampstands?
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Lamps that don't just have oil, but they've got fire.
Yes, sir.
In that lamp. Praise the Lord.
Come on. That's the truth.
Intellectuals can't be lit up by the power of God.
Exactly right.
They're inspired by intellect. Right. They're inspired by deeper intellectual material.
Right.
But the bride ain't inspired by intellect. She's inspired by light. By fire, by lamp. Anything that will get the bride into the presence of the Lord, she is a junkie. She can't wait to get into the presence of God. Do you realize people that get addicted to drugs, they can't wait to get their next high. And the Bible said they addicted themselves to Christ and prayer and reading the Bible. I went to God. We have people here tonight that would say, Brother Ben, I want to be addicted to the Lord Jesus. I want to be addicted to prayer and addicted to the Word and addicted to the Holy Ghost. And when my lamp is running low, I can't wait to get another fix. I can't wait to get to the house of God and get filled up all over.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But he that shall false or have his lamp lit by fire, the only way it's going to burn is if it's full of oil.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Uh-huh. That's the only way it's going to burn is if it's full of oil. But if it's not full of oil, you can have all the fire you want. It ain't going to do no good.
That's right.
But if it's full of oil, the second you set the light to it, brother, she just... Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 now. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men.
That's right.
Well, I'm just one of those Christians, I just don't like to tell a whole lot. And, you know, I just don't talk a whole lot about Jesus, you know. I'm just afraid somebody might offend me and I might offend them. And, you know, I just want to be gentle about talking to people and everything. Let me explain something. You've got that all wrong. If you're speaking to another lampstand, all you have to do is get under the oil and get under the fire. They'll do everything else.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yep.
Come on.
Right off your fire.
A real son and daughter of God, you know how they pass that word? They're on fire with the Holy Ghost. And that person wants a little bit of what you got.
Sure, that's right.
That's the reason these foolish virgins were crying out, give us some of your oil, because genuinely in their heart they wanted what you had.
Right.
But brother, the real bride of the Lord Jesus, she doesn't sit in church and twiddle her thumbs and say, oh, well, I guess we'll just come and just be good people and just be sociable. But she is so on fire that she can't wait to tell somebody how God saved her, filled her with the Holy Ghost. She was a drug addict or a drunk or whatever she was.
That's
and
right.
The Spirit of Almighty God got a hold of her and turned her life around. Do you think the woman at the well, when she got lit up, walked around twiddling her thumbs and saying, well, I don't want to tell too many people about this, so keep it real quiet now and just share this with just a few friends amongst yourself. The Bible said the minute she got her lamp lit, she dropped her water faucet and ran into the city. Where has the days been for you and I where we would tell somebody about this message? But you know what we've done? We've become ashamed of William Branham. We've become ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're afraid to tell this one and tell that one what we believe because they'll go search on the internet.
Oh, no.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
Now, I'm not talking about being wise and fishing for men, as it were. But I'm talking about a bunch of people that are scared to death to talk about the Holy Ghost. They're scared to death to bring them to church because that evangelist might sweat when he preaches. But if they're really genuinely a part of this lamp group, the minute they sit down there in that chair and settle in, I don't understand all that's going on, but I sure like what I feel.
Amen.
Yeah?
Right.
I know we're beyond feelings. I know. I understand. We're a bunch of robots now in this message, and we don't feel anything. I understand that. We come to church, and we feel nothing. We don't feel God. We don't feel joy. We don't feel stimulation. We don't feel that. We wonder why our young people sit and look like a bunch of mules staring at a new gate. You know why? Because the world goes to a ball game and they'll jump and jerk and smile and holler and scream and talk about it for days afterward. And they'll tell people that don't even like baseball about the home run and tell everybody about the football touchdown that went around the world. People that don't even like sports, they can't wait to get their mouth open and tell it. You know why? They're on fire for that sport that they're talking about. Oh, if the Church of the Living God could get on fire for the Lord Jesus, it would go not just in the church house, but all into the world, around the world. The bride would bring this gospel into a greater way if she would just open up her mouth and let her light shine.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Come That's on. Right.
You know, I told somebody about Brother Brown the other day, and they got on the internet and read a whole bunch of bad stuff like that. Well, tell them to quit going the wrong source.
Right.
You want to find out about Brother Brown? Don't go to the internet. Go here.
That's right.
That's right.
Huh? You want to find out about seven messengers? Go right here.
Yes.
Don't go to the internet. Don't go to this preacher or that preacher. Go to the Bible. Go to the original source that tells us what William Branham's ministry is all about.
That's right.
Go to the original source that tells us about the Apostle Paul, that tells us about these other things. Don't go out to these bunch of people that's got their own agenda coming back to God's Word.
Come on.
I told my mama about it, and she threatened to run me out of the house.
So?
Well, I love you, Mama, but I'm just a burning up. I can't hardly sit still. This thing's just eating me alive.
Glory.
Well, I told Daddy about it. Daddy didn't like it neither, but I'm just burning up. I can't hold still.
Come on.
Hey, man, that's a lampstand. Come on, somebody. That's a lampstand full of the Holy Ghost. I don't mean wisdom now. I realize there's a way that we must approach this thing and introduce it correctly so people don't think you're a bunch of nuts. That's one reason we've got such a bad light on the ranks of this message. We got a bunch of these people that need their brains baptized first. Praise the Lord. Presenting Brother Branham like he's some sort of God, like everything he's ever done is infallible. Let me tell you, Brother Branham's a man just like you and I. He had to repent just like I have to repent. He had to get the Holy Ghost just like I had to get the Holy Ghost. But you know, if I talk about this shouting, tongue speaking, Acts 2:38 group, somebody might not like me too well.
Come on.
Isn't that pitiful? Yeah. Jesus said, if you're hated for my name's sake, blessed are you that they when they hate you.
Amen.
You know why some people ain't got their blessings? They're afraid to shine their light.
Right.
They all ain't preaching with me no more, but it's the truth anyhow, whether they are or not.
Amen.
Amen. Your light must shine in darkness. Where does a light shine best? Where?
That's
in
right.
darkness.
That's right.
Who best needs your light than those that sit in darkness?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh my, let your light so shine that they may see your good works. And that means when you wake up on Monday morning, you might actually have to smile when you go to work.
Yep.
I know, God forbid, that's terrible. I know, I'm almost asking too much of you. At least before your cup of coffee, that is, right? But let your light shine that they may see. Why is it so important that they see this life of Christ in us? How are they going to know what it looks like if they don't see it for themselves?
All right.
Amen.
That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Lord, if they get a little piece of this, they'll start burning up too.
Amen.
That's right.
Notice in Matthew chapter 17 verse 2, and he was transfigured before them. Jesus, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now you imagine Jesus standing there in this great cloud. No man sees anything but Jesus, save Jesus alone. You imagine Jesus standing up on that mountain and saying, Father, you know, this light's awful bright. Now, if somebody sees me, they're going to consider I'm making up some magician trick. They're going to say this, and they've said all kinds of things about me as it is. But if I tell you, my Lord, you're my Father. You created this body that I'm living in. You gave me life. You filled me with every ounce of who you are. In me dwells the fullness of your Godhead body. But if I stand here in this pillar of cloud, what are they going to say about this cloud? You think Jesus was scared to stand in the middle of a cloud?
No, sir.
Jesus wasn't scared of the cloud, and Miss Jesus won't be scared of it either.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. Notice his face. His face did shine as the sun. What part of the lampstand shines? The face of the lampstand. The face of the lampstand shines white as light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he said, in whom the God of this world, who's that? That's the devil, isn't he?
Yes,
he hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Yep.
Did you notice Paul called the glorious gospel of Christ the image of God? Mm-hmm. The gospel of Christ was the image of God.
That's right.
And who is the real gospel?
Yeah.
Will the real gospel please stand up?
Yeah.
You are the real gospel, demonstration power. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
The real gospel is not this book that I've got in my hand. That's part of it, yes. But if this book becomes flesh, it becomes the very image.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It becomes the image of Almighty God down on this earth. Amen. I heard somebody say a minute ago, the living image. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. The living image, not a dead image grown in by creeds, but a living, oh my, a living tabernacle. Amen.
Yes.
That's breathing with the very breath of Almighty God. Her very spiritual lungs are heaving with the breath of the Holy Ghost. The glorious gospel. The image of Jesus Christ. So when they hate you, they're snuffing out the light to them. When they hated Jesus and he was the light. St. John chapter 1. John was sent to bear witness of that light. Now he was not that light, but sent to bear witness of that light. So when they rejected Jesus, they rejected the light of their hour. So if Christ is in you, you become the light of the hour. They reject you. They snuff out the only light they'll ever have in this life.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Two amens, three head nods, a couple blinks.
Come on, preacher.
I know it's hard for you to swallow, children, but it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. The light of this message is not a stack of books like this.
That's right.
You're the image.
Yes, right.
You are the living image. What did Brother Man tell us about the statue of perfect man? He said that when this bride is filled up with all them spiritual qualities in her, he said she becomes the living tabernacle, the living statue, amen, of the very character of Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, exactly what he said.
God walking in two shoes.
Glory. Yeah.
God walking in your moccasins.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
This is the glorious
Hallelujah.
Gospel of the light.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Are that light.
Amen.
Is this what Jesus said, or did Jesus not say that somebody else? He said, ye are the light of the world.
That's exactly what he said.
Oh my. Who is the image of God should shine unto them. Verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts.
Amen.
To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, I'd be afraid to tell somebody about speaking in tongues. I'd be afraid that they would pull somebody up on the internet that was a fanatic with speaking in tongues. And, well, don't let the internet be their example then.
Right.
Ooh, Lord, y'all are getting so quiet on me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't let the internet be your example. Let them look at you and say, I don't need to go to the internet. I know what it looks like.
Amen.
I don't need to ask so-and-so. I know what love looks like.
That's right.
That man's boss was so mean to him the other day, I would have smacked him in the mouth if it had been me. You know what he done? He went over to a corner and bowed his head and prayed for him. When the real bride of Jesus Christ gets this right, she'll become the very face of Almighty God.
Sure. Amen.
She'll arise and become the light of the face. You realize the bread of the face or the bread of His presence? In the Old Testament, the bread of His presence was also the bread of His face. When Jacob wrestles with God, and God changes his walk. Remember, He touched him on the thigh and He gave him a different walk after he met God.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
After He meets him, He gives him a different walk. Is anybody getting it? I'll keep saying it till you get it. He gave him a different walk after He touched him, and He gave him a different name, different walk, different mindset. Changed him over from Jacob, that old shyster, and made him a prince of Almighty God.
Right.
And what did Jacob say? Teddy out! My God, I have seen the face of Almighty God.
Right. Amen.
Do you realize those that have been able to behold His face, they know how God thinks, they know what God loves, they know what God hates, they know God's desires, they know God's thoughts, God's feelings, God's actions. Those that have beheld His face, they know every characteristic about Him.
That's right. Exactly right.
And the bride is to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Can I go a little bit?
Sure.
Y'all ain't candles now burning out on me, are you?
No,
good. It'd be a bad night to burn out on me tonight. Preach on a lampstand. You want to act like a lampstand tonight, ain't you? Notice here, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Now let's look at these lampstands in the Old Testament. Now let's just look at the scripture here that Zechariah gives. The angel that talked with me came again and waked me. And as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all gold. Gold represents deity.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Deity is not in heaven. Hang on, everybody.
Right.
Deity is in you.
Amen.
The bride is deity upon this earth.
Yeah.
So, Brother Ben,
I
don't know so much about that, all right? Well, let us take what Brother Ben said. He said, when a man will take the very word of God upon his lips, it's the same as deity speaking.
Amen.
And you can't put it on your lips if you ain't got no face to put it on your lips. Glory. So the bride is becoming the lips. She is becoming the living voice. Do you realize when we say the bride will be the final voice of the final day, do you realize what that means? That means that she will not become just a repeater or a quoter. She won't just take scriptures and just repeat. But she will actually become the living voice. She will speak as God is speaking on this earth.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Oh my, think of this now. So gold, deity, with a bowl up on top of it. Now this is the reservoir where it gets refilled. And the seven lamps thereon and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it. Old and New Testament.
Amen.
The one on the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side. So if I need to be refilled, I go back to the Word.
Amen.
And I start digging in that Word and say, Lord, I need a deeper experience with God. And that olive tree starts pouring in on this side and pouring in on that side. That's the reason Brother Bam said every real, genuine, spiritual Christian that's walking where they should, they pray every day and read their Bible every single day. As much as you possibly can read it. Let me put it that way. But you realize that a man or woman that stands there and takes that word into their soul, takes it in their soul, that it's the same as these olive trees feeding that oil inside of them. When you take that word in, you're filling up the oil reservoirs into your soul of that word, and the only thing that's left is a little fire to come on what you're taking in. Amen. That's why I don't want to just read about healing, but I want God to quicken that healing work in my body and in the body of sick saints. I don't want to just read about the resurrection, but I want the Holy Spirit to light it up and make it a reality, that which I have taken into my soul. Oh, notice this. Oh my. Upon the right, upon the left. So I answered and spake to the angel and talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Here's a prophet of God standing right in the middle of a vision and didn't understand the vision himself. So why is it this is okay for Zechariah, but it's not okay for Brother Brown?
Think about it.
The word's amen in case you forgot it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Huh? Why is it okay for Zechariah not to know? Why is it okay for him to know rather, but Brother Brown not to know? Brother Brown was any more of a man than Zechariah was, I guess? I guess Brother Branham could look at certain visions and understand every attribute. I guess when he was 5 years old, he could recall every little single detail. Zechariah couldn't recall it all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Go back and look at what he spoke about the bridge.
That's
he said
right.
22 years, plumb up to 1964, and turn around and said 17 years. Do the math. Right. There's no way Brother Branham could have been the age that he said he was. You know why? He was a man working upon recall. He was working upon his own memory. And just like Zechariah, he was standing. I'm not saying the vision didn't happen. Of course it happened, just like God showed it to Brother Branham. But just because the man can't recall it doesn't mean it's wrong.
That's right.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Zechariah, what meaneth these, my Lord? Look at this. The angel that talked to me answered and said unto him, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, well, you got your Bible there in front of you. What did he say?
No.
No! My Lord. So God don't show his prophets everything, does he? Certain things God may not reveal to him. You know why Brother Branham didn't have the perfect recall to go back and explain that vision of the bridge to us perfectly? Why he couldn't go back and get every little detail just right? Because God didn't figure it's all that important for the bride to hold into her soul as being a little nugget of eternal life. He knew that bride would have confidence that was God's servant, that he was anointed, but thus saith the Lord. And they wouldn't question some man's vision because of a problem with his recall or his memory. Come on, somebody. It's the same exact way with your pastor or some other minister or a leader in your home. If you go to question them because they're a human being and they've got ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. But that was the source of this vision. There was a man that was empty and needed to get filled. There was a church that was empty and needed to get filled. I want to tell you what I want for you right here in Van Buren. I want to see the Holy Ghost come down tonight and fill every vessel in this room. Plumb to the brim and let the Holy Ghost light up their life.
Amen. Right. Thank you, Lord.
You say, can we have it? Yes, it's our right.
Amen.
It's our right to these spiritual supernatural things. Oh, but I may not understand. Don't have to. He didn't. I don't know how to get into that. Don't matter. Just start moving.
Amen.
Though it's fresh as junk, God will catch you.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. What are these, my Lord? The angel that taught me answered, said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. He answered, spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, y'all ready?
Yeah.
Not by might, intellectual might, nor by power. Biggest church in the message. Greatest influence in the message. What in the world does that got to do with anything?
Right.
There's only one man's influence we need to be under.
Come on.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
I'm not saying people won't influence us, but he is the main source of our influence.
Amen, sir. That's right.
And we find ourselves getting somebody else's spirit, we better go back because we're backsliding.
That's right.
Come on, children. You know it's right.
That's right.
You go to getting some other man's spirit, some other man's way, you better go check in your experience up.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We're not to have somebody else's spirit. Some certain church in this message is not your example church.
That's right.
The example church was Pentecost.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, that's the pattern.
That's right.
Well, you argue, Brother Brown, that's what he said in the church age book. He said, that is the pattern. There is no other pattern.
Yes.
Amen.
But you know, we come to church and we sit and we're so full of oil. You know, we're so full of oil in this message. Young people can sit in church, and if I misquote a date, they can requote it in their mind and correct me while I'm sitting there. And yet they don't have the Holy Ghost, but I do.
Come on.
Adults can do the same thing.
Yeah.
So full of oil. Challenge you on theology. I disagree with this. I disagree with that. But do you have a spark? That's what I want to do. You have fire. Because if you don't have fire, you could be full to your nose. You could be full to your eyeballs. But if you ain't got no fire, all it is a lamp full of oil.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The original pattern of this bride. Now watch. Not by might. And the church said, nor by power, and the church said,
amen.
But how? How was this lamp to operate? But by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Exactly right. Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, you know, Brother Ben, if I get fired up, you know, I might start acting like you. And what would be wrong with that?
Right.
Glory to God. What would be wrong with some of you starchy Arkansas? Yeah. What would be wrong with some of you Arkies out here? What would be you just get, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 What would be wrong with some of that? Some of you people will sit here this whole weekend and you won't budge a muscle. How in the world rigor mortis don't set into some of your faces? I don't know. Some of you, the truth, you will sit right there and let the devil cheat you out of
That's
blessing
right.
after blessing. But we don't have to have it that way.
Yes.
Amen. Let this weekend be a revolution for your life and enter into that Holy Spirit and let the power of Almighty God light up your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, Lord.
So much about that hollering that loud. Well, my pastor ain't like that. He kind of talks a little quieter than that. Well, thank God for it, because God needs men like him.
That's
God
right.
needs men like me.
That's
and
right.
God needs men like Brother Carl.
That's
and
right.
like Brother Daniel.
That's
and
right.
like Brother Jason. God has all sorts of ways to light this bride up.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Praise the Lord. But she is the original bride.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. If Mary came out of the upper room staggering like a drunk woman, can you take your worship and go take your worship as you are now and go get in line with them coming out of the upper room? Would you have fit in, or would you have stuck out like a sore thumb? I'm setting you up to preach on getting drunk on the Holy Ghost tomorrow night.
Amen.
Just thought I'd let you know.
Amen.
Alrighty. Notice this, oh my, who alone can give light or oil, which typifies the Holy Ghost, he said, who alone can give the light of God to the people. The angel of God spoke to Zechariah, saying, this is what you see means that the church cannot accomplish anything. Listen to this. Anything. The church cannot accomplish anything by its own might or its own power. But it must accomplish it by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, speak to us tonight.
Amen.
The man says, examine this lampstand. You'll notice it has a large bowl or a reservoir. The seven arms that come out of the bowl is filled with olive oil, which flows through the seven wicks that are placed in those seven arms. It is the same oil that burns that makes the light at the end of those pipes. And this light never went out.
Man,
I don't know, Brother Ben. Somebody pray for me and get back to church Wednesday night. I'm about done. About done, about wore out. Get away from that candlestick religion of yours.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Get away from that old candle. Quit waxing cold.
Yeah.
Get over here in this lampstand, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The bride says, pray for me to get to church Wednesday. You better pray for the devil.
Oh, there you go.
Because if I get to the church on Wednesday night, I'm going to wear him out. Praise the Lord. The light never went out. It was always burning. The priest just kept pouring oil into the bowl.
Exactly
oh,
right.
God, I couldn't
Amen.
Hardly wait to get to this part tonight. Do you know why you came to church tonight? It was because I came with a great big bucket full of oil.
Amen.
And if you'll ever get your reservoir open, I'll pour that oil into your walk with God.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? If you'll open up your heart, open up your reservoir, you know what I'm saying? Then I'll pour this oil down into your soul. Then whenever the clock speaks us tomorrow, we'll get in there and just open back up. He'll dump a big bunch of oil down in there and it'll
Amen.
Keep burning on and on and on and on.
Amen.
And the light of God will never go out for this last day, bride.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my, notice the priest just kept pouring oil into the bowl. So that means you had to come to church more than just once a week.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't know how in the world some people can survive only coming to church every now and then.
Yeah.
You read your Bible, they get in the middle of a trial and they start asking for help. Have you read your Bible? You've been praying? What does mean anyways? I don't really know that. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Brother Ben, I want to be on fire for God.
Amen.
Do you? Do you really? How many times you go to church? How much you read the Bible?
Right.
Y'all said you wanted the fire. I'm trying to help you get there.
Yeah.
You got to get filled up. Now notice now, the lamp was lit in a special way. The priest took the fire from the sacred altar which originally lighted by the fire of God. He lit first, and the lamp that was sitting on top of that bowl, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, all the way down. He said, and so on, the seven lamps were burning. This holy fire from the altar being passed from lamp unto lamp. That is why the bride of Jesus Christ passes the seed life from one member to another.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Because when you get lit up, and I've got the same substance in me that you have, if I get in contact with your fire, I will lit the same way you were lit.
Amen. That's right.
This is why you want your life to shine. This is why you want to come to church and let the devil know what side you're on. This is why you want to read that word and stay in prayer and stay on your knees before God, fasting and asking God to move in your life. This is why you stay full of the Holy Ghost, because there might be just one person that could use your fire.
That's right.
I'm going to say something now, and I'm a little reluctant to say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, I think. There's too many people in this message. It's got pictures of the prophet of God in Houston and the fire over his head, and they're warming themselves by that painted fire. And they don't have that fire for themselves. Just because you got a picture of the fire in your church doesn't mean you got it for yourself. Come on, somebody. You got to have it for yourself. Because your pastor got it, or your mama got it, or daddy got it. Because your church member might have it doesn't mean that you got it yourself. You've got to get lit on fire yourself. Amen. You've got to have experience with yourself. Repent and be baptized, and you shall be lit by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Notice, let me go just a bit further and I'll close. Notice the original outpouring of Pentecost. Which this outpouring came direct from Jesus Christ on the mercy seat. He's enduing His church through all seven ages. He's enduing them or filling them up. Showing forth perfectly that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The never-changing God in His essence and His ways. Listen to this. How thrilling it is to think of those seven lamps drawing life and light from the resources of that main bowl. And did you notice? It wasn't a tiny reservoir. It was a large reservoir. When you come to the house of God, don't bring your thimble, because you're going to get filled up to last till Monday night. Praise the Lord. Bring a large reservoir with you to church.
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Notice again. He says His life, or His wick, has been immersed in Christ. Through that wick, He is drawing the very life of Jesus Christ. And by it, He is giving out light to the church. And what kind of light is He giving? The very same light that was in the first lamp. That's why, friends, any of these people that are questioning Brother Branham, there's one thing they can question. They can question visions. They can question this. They can question that. But let's question water baptism in Jesus Christ's name.
Come on. Hey,
let's question oneness of the Godhead.
Right.
Let's question living preachers.
Yes.
Right. Come on, church.
Amen.
Let's question restoration of the nine spiritual gifts.
That's right.
Let's question whether they be prophets of the Lord, apostles, evangelists, teachers, pastors.
Yes,
let's question them apostolic truths that lay in there.
Right.
These bunch of cowards won't put that on their website.
That's
because
right.
They can't argue with the Bible.
That's right.
They'll argue with this, argue with that, argue with that. You say, Brother Ben, you ought to quit bashing on them. No, sir, it's time we open our mouth.
That's right.
The book of Acts in the 12th chapter,
amen,
when they come under the persecution of critics, the Bible said they asked God to open their mouth and give them boldness that they may speak.
Yes,
and the very moment they prayed, God opened up their mouth and they was able to speak the word of God with boldness.
Yes.
Brother, it's time. We've lost too many of our young people and families.
Right.
And there's been too many of them go by the wayside because too many preachers sitting out trying to ignore things. But oh God, let's light up our fire tonight and let it shine out that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the power of God is still in the church to raise the dead, cast out devils, and make this living word live.
Amen.
Amen.
But we like to sit around and be nice, don't we? Nice and politically correct, not hurt nobody's feelings.
Uh-oh.
It's a shame that Stephen didn't have that idea. He'd probably been living older than Methuselah. You know what cost him his life? And he was just a deacon. He wasn't even a preacher.
Right.
But he had enough guts to stand there and look him in the face and say, "You're wrong."
Yes, sir.
We had the Holy Ghost, Brother Claude. That's exactly what he had.
Right.
He was full of oil. Amen. And his life was lit up with the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Tell me how you can shut a firebrand up.
Yeah.
Jeremiah tried that one time and he said it was like a fire. Shut up in my bones. He said, "You say it. You better keep quiet. What you not? God's gonna judge you.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
You can't shut fire up. You can't shut them up, brother. But the prophet of God said that they'll never shut this bride up. God will take her up. We are going in the rapture by fire. Not by conceptions. We're going by fire.
Yes, sir, I believe it.
Amen, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Just a bit further, can I?
Amen.
Just a bit, thank you. Notice the same bowl. They're all being dipped from that same bowl. Oh, I just love these words right here. They're dead to themselves, and their lives are hid with Christ in God. Aren't you thankful God had men like that in this day?
True.
Amen. Dead to themselves so they can live in Christ. Notice he said, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise whereby you're sealed to the day of your redemption. No man can pluck them out of his hand. And their lives cannot be tampered with. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The inner, invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's Word. Satan cannot touch them, and the church said,
amen.
Not even death can touch them.
Amen.
Amen. The grave has lost its victory.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God that have this victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Ben says, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. What is it? It's the everlasting source. The eternal, as it were, source. Drawing the bride. You see, when you start getting low, you don't go out there and start looking for more fire. You've already been lit up. But you go back and you start refilling the reservoir. You start getting low, getting down, all this sort of thing. How do you encourage yourself? Many times you go back into the Word. And you try to find something. You remember, Brother Ram said that Jesus was able to look into the Word and it gave him faith about who he was.
Right.
You understand? That's how we feed our experience with God. We don't feed it on emotions. That's wonderful. That's part of this walk with God. But we feed this experience by feeding it by the Lord's Word. And as we feed that experience by the Word, then as we come to the house of God and enter up into the Spirit of God, the fire comes down and anoints and quickens and makes alive that which we have taken in through the week.
Yes,
sir. If you're studying like you should, and I'm going to trust that you are, if you're reading like you should, praying like you should, then all coming to church is for you is a quickening service.
That's right.
It isn't a service for the preacher to come read your scriptures for the week.
Right.
Or to give you the scripture, let you hear the Bible being read. You should have that done during the week. But the minute you walk into the house of God, while you're sitting here, is looking for the Lord to quicken that which you've already taken in.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
That which is already inside of your heart. Amen. Come on, somebody. Once you get that anointed by the Holy Spirit, the devil can't take that away from you.
That's
right. Either in here or born again in the Spirit of God, you know exactly what I mean. You've gotten so down, you've told God you're going to quit. But did you?
No.
Could you?
No, sir.
You didn't start it. How could you finish it?
Amen.
We tell the Lord many times, I'm going to quit. I think God sometimes wants to look down and say, you didn't start this. How can you quit something you didn't start?
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
You didn't start it, Brother Claude. You didn't start it. God's the one who started that work.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And the Holy Ghost will finish that which He has started and begun in us.
That's right.
The seven golden lampstands. Are you glad you're a lampstand?
Yes. Amen.
And not a candlestick?
Right. Amen.
And let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father.
Amen.
Which is in heaven.
That's right. Glory. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now mind you, friends. There's a difference in being ashamed of this message and being wise with this message.
Sure, right. Wise servant.
There's certain people you talk about these certain revealed truths with. You got to be careful how you approach them.
Yep.
Because if you start cramming it down their neck, they're going to think you're some kind of a quack.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's one reason why this message has got such a bad mark on it.
Right.
Because of two reasons. Because somebody didn't present it right. And the other reason is people didn't live what was been presented.
Exactly. That's right.
You're not living right. And preachers running off and committing adultery and piano players and everything else in the world doing this, that, and other. Deacons, trustees, God knows what else going on in the church. And they look and say, you mean that's the lamp? That's the lamp? A bunch of lying and backbiting and bitterness and people hate one another and all that. That's the lampstand. That's what it's supposed to look like. I can go to the world and get that, they'll say. I can go out in the world and be lied to, they'll say.
Yes.
But what makes us different? This lasting quality.
Yep.
That even though they see us get discouraged, All of a sudden, something begins perpetrating, moving inside, propagating inside of us, and begins stirring up inside of us. And they'll see you get down and discouraged and almost ready to quit. And all of a sudden, you come to church and you get that goofy smile on your face. Oh, yeah. Right, you know what I'm talking about? What's the matter with that guy? He got hooked up. He got hooked up. He was getting a little low. His tank was running on empty, and he got a nice refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. I imagine the devil hates that about you and I. You imagine he does? I imagine he hates the fact that he gets you right down to the very minute second, and he says, I've got him. I've got Brother Claude. I've got him. I'm going to discourage him. He's going to quit. He's right at the board. And all of a sudden, here comes that goofy grin. And the devil probably says, oh, God, how am I ever going to be able to squash him out?
Can't.
You can't.
Amen.
Can't.
Right.
Can't fail.
Praise the Lord. What did it say, page 64 of the Church Age book? I did not come to bring you fear of failure.
No.
I come to bring you my omnipotence. Yes. You speak the word.
Amen.
And I'll perform it.
I will.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
positive. Amen. 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 Lampstands,
amen.
Not candlesticks. Not today I'm saved, tomorrow I'm not sure. I'm up today, down tomorrow. But lampstands.
Right.
An everlasting experience.
Yes, sir.
They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait. Praise the Lord. Let's just worship Him for a little bit, can we?
Yes.
Anybody have a need in your body, sick, or have some need you'd like me to pray for? Come on while we're singing. Sing it, buddy. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
They that wait. Upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord.
I just felt the Holy Ghost grab a hold of me as I was walking back into the room. I just thought, Lord, your presence is there somehow. And I look out, there's sister standing, tears coming out of her eyes, singing, I claim the blood. You know what that is? You're a lampstand. You go through some of the worst experiences in your life and you think, I'm done, I'm going to quit. And all of a sudden you'll be standing there singing a song or applying yourself in some way to the word. And the Holy Ghost will start moving right now. What's he doing? He's filling up that lamp all over again.
Amen.
Over
the Hallelujah.
Let's get our lamps full tonight. Now's
yes.
The time to fill
yes.
Up. Well, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Oh, they shall rise and not be weary. They shall walk in the land. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Just raise our hands now. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's sing. See, he's amazing. The one that you sang it earlier today. I'm sorry, my mind went completely blank. I get caught up in the Holy Ghost. I can't remember nothing, friends. Don't you feel His presence with us tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I can't remember anything. Just whatever you got on your heart, sing something for us. How we love the Lord Jesus. Do you love Him with all your heart?
Sure. Amen.
Don't let the devil distract you now. Put your heart right on Him and say,
Amen.
You're here. This is your presence. And I'm here tonight as a lampstand. I'm asking God to fill up my branches.
Yes.
Fill up my peace branches. Fill up my joy branches.
Amen.
Fill up my happiness branches. Fill up all of my endurance, all those branches. Remember, Brother Bram said there's many doors down inside the heart.
Sure.
There's many branches down inside that human heart.
Right.
Oh my, I don't want Him just filling up my revelation branch and leaving my joy empty. I don't want Him just filling up my joy branch and leaving my peace empty.
Right.
But oh, great Holy Ghost. Fill me up from that wet reservoir and go all the way down through every area of my life. If it be my private life, go on down in there, Lord.
Yes.
If it be my faith, go on into my faith.
Amen.
Everywhere that I am, fill me up.
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
How great
is our
God.
You got it. That's the one.
Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You can say amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you, friends. I love you with all my heart. I know I've kept you a little long, but this is convention time. I don't get no hurry.
That's right.
Amen. Could I ask you one thing before we quit tonight? I don't know when I'll get you together all like this again. Come the 8th of June, some of you might know this, but I'm traveling to Africa, to Ghana, Burkina Faso. Brother Prater and I are going over there for about 3 weeks to the 28th. And certainly desire your prayers. I've been newly, as you know, diagnosed as a diabetic. And a lot of them foods and things over there that are going to be hard to deal with. Brother Claude knows way much better than I ever know about it, than being type 1. And he knows how what I mean is going to be tough, you know, all the rices and those things like that. Pray for me, the Lord help me.
Amen.
I feel like God will give me the ability to do what I need to do. I feel like I've got all the little necessary things I need to pack with me and make good preparations. And I've got plenty of insulin and things like that. So you just pray the Lord give me wisdom and help me to be able to do what I need to do to help them people over there. And then about 3 days ago, I got a phone call from a brother that said, Brother Ben said, they want me to preach a convention in Paris. He said, when are you going to Africa? And I told him the dates when we were returning. He said, I've recommended you to this brother because I can't go. And he said, the meeting, they'll probably schedule it for you to, for me to come or you to come. He said, the 28th and the 29th. He said, can you do it? I want you to realize what my schedule is. We leave from Ghana on the 27th. I arrive in Brussels, Belgium at 5:25 a.m. on Saturday morning. I can take a train, which is just an hour or so, down into France, and I can be there to preach them meetings. And the brother said, while you're there, we're going to take you to Germany, take you to London. I've asked the Lord for 7 years to give me Europe, to give me an opportunity to get over and preach to some of them saints over there. 7 years I waited. Didn't know nobody, didn't know how in the world I was going to make it over there, and everything has clicked just exactly right in line.
Amen.
For me to be able to drop right there in Belgium and come right on down and preach to some of them UK saints over there. So I want you to pray for me, will you?
Amen.
Please. It'll be about 4 weeks almost just back to back of all those traveling, those things like that. And it's been a hard enough year on me as it's been all this traveling. But I want to ask you, saints, please pray for me. Will you do it?
Amen.
God bless you very much. I love you with all my heart. Let's all come take the service now. Did you enjoy tonight?
Amen.
Was it a help to you?
Yes. Amen.
You know why? Because I've read this book right here.
You got the Holy Ghost.
What the man talked about tonight, you can find right here in the pages of this book. As long as it's that way, we don't have to worry about it. It doesn't make a bit of difference what the world says. As long as we can find it right here, we can go with it. Amen. So I can say amen to it tonight. You know, this word that you heard tonight is the same word that God created the entire universe with. They tell me the universe is something like, if you were traveling the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles a second, that it would take you about 14.5 billion years to go from one side of the universe to the other. And that was created by the word that God dropped into your heart, from what you heard tonight. So don't think we have to worry about whether God's going to bring to pass what He said He's going to do.
That's good. Amen.
Right? We just have to put all of our confidence in what He said and stay with it.
That's good.
And so, you know, I know that there's probably some visitors tonight that probably don't know a whole lot about what we believe. But as you've heard tonight, this what we believe comes from the Scriptures. And we know He spoke of the seven sealed book, a book being sealed. And this book, you know, God wrote it, right?
Right.
God wrote it. God sealed it. And God had a place in His economy where that book's going to be opened.
Right.
Well, you know that book's not going to be open to God because He already knows what's on the book.
Yeah.
So who's it going to be open to?
Yeah, come on.
Right? It's going to be open to His people, to His believers. Because there's something on there that He knew all along.
That's good, buddy.
That He wants you to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? And so that's what we're talking about. This brother was speaking of the lampstands. And so we're just talking about how that God would have New Testament church that was typed in the Old Testament in the tabernacle by the seven candlesticks or the lampstand there, the menorah in the tabernacle. That was a type of the New Testament where there would be seven ages, seven church ages, as the brother mentioned there. Seven church ages, which the Scripture said, which was the seven candlesticks, and used that word, but it's lampstands. there would be a messenger to each one of those ages. So from the time of Christ 2,000 years ago until our day, he would have seven dispensations of time that he called church ages. Each one of them would be considered a lampstand, and each one would have a messenger.
Right.
And that would be the man that had the ear to hear, as the brother was saying, and that fire would light that messenger, and then he would bring it to a people, and those people underneath that messenger would have the blessing of that messenger
That's
of
it.
That day.
That's
and
it.
That would happen seven times over.
Amen.
Seven times, because as you went into the tabernacle, there were seven candlesticks, and you're approaching God.
That's right?
You're approaching God, and this world through timeline is approaching God. So you're approaching God, and you have to pass through seven candlestick ages,
right,
and you get to that last stage. And when you leave that last stage, guess where you go?
Shekinah.
You go right into the Shekinah glory of God.
That's right.
Right? And so if people will just stay in the Word long enough,
oh,
you'll
God.
Find out
That's
that
it.
We've passed through them seven ages.
Yes.
And that last stage, we're passing right out.
Yeah.
The time is upon us. Right now, we are moving
Praise
into that Shekinah glory, just like God said we'd be.
Exactly like he said.
If you don't understand it, if you're newcomers, I don't know, there's a lot of faces here I don't recognize, but just stay in the Word.
Yeah.
Check it. Do like the early church did.
Amen.
They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
That's right.
And if you can find it right in there, that's what I like about all these, the condemnation that we hear about what we believe today. But you know what? We find even the things that they gripe about, we find it in the Scriptures. We find it right there. We find the weaknesses of man right there in the Scripture. I was talking to someone this week, and I said, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing wrong with Him.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And this person said, well, I know that. I said, then what's the problem? What's the problem?
Amen.
Because if you're fussing about something, you're looking at something different than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because He's my sacrifice. I find no fault in Him. Right? He took my place. And you know, if you're going to go out and find a sacrifice to go in your place like they did in the Old Testament, you're not going to go out there and find one that's got a blemish. You're going to find the best one.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Right? I'm not going to put my confidence in something that's questionable.
No.
Because I know that my salvation would blow up right there if I believed in something that was not. But I put my confidence in something that I see right here tied to the Word. I don't have to worry about it. I can just lay it right there.
Yeah.
I can go to sleep at night and be just
good.
As happy.
That's good.
My wife will tell you that I can actually go to bed and literally, really, within 20 seconds be asleep.
That's right.
All right, honey. She's shaking her head.
I do that.
Why? Because you know what? There's a security in Christ
that's
Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. And that's what we want. So,
yes, sir.
And as the brother said, I don't mean to be trying to pick up and go on or anything, but I just. As the brother said, you know, we can't do this with intellect.
Right.
And I'll take you back to the Scriptures. Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you've revealed them to babes. So when it comes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, be babes.
Amen.
You know why? Because children are like sponges. That's they right. just take it all in. And they just want to be like their parents.
That's
right? We want to be like Him. Just soak in what He has. And let that, but don't try to approach it with intellect. You may have heard all kinds of church teaching in the past, and maybe what you hear tonight's a little bit different. But, you know, don't be wise and prudent.
Right.
Don't come and be confident in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, well, I know where I stand. Submit yourself to the Word, and He'll always guide you out to be right. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just give the Lord another applause.
Amen.
Amen. To be drunk in the Spirit, right? And you know, the world can go out and have their good time, and they can get intoxicated on their thing,
right?
And they can rejoice, and they can stagger around, and you know what? That's what that early church did. They
right.
got full of the Holy Ghost. You know what? And it's like you said, if our life was, if we were just taken right out there and put right beside them as they come out of the upper room, would we be embarrassed? Would we fit in? And so He's going to tell us about that tomorrow night, but I just wanted to share with you what we have on the agenda for the weekend. And so just bear with me, and it won't take very much long. But obviously this tonight, I think, was a good start. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., we have breakfast at at the Western Citizen right out here. We've got a room set aside there so that we can all get together and we can eat breakfast. They have a buffet food bar there, so whatever you like, you'll find it on there. We can go in there, and Brother Claude, his brother standing right here on the front, he's going to be ministering to us, speaking to us what's on his heart. And probably have to do it while we eat some, because he's told me that he has a fork full, and we like that.
Plate right? Full.
The plate full. and so we might have to let him get started just a little bit while we're eating, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and the lady already told me that if we needed privacy, I said, well, you can come and go, whatever. Maybe she'll hear something that she needs to hear. But
sure.
But anyway, that's at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, and I'd like as many of you to come as you can. And if you could, I'd like to see how many, who knows, they're going to be able to make it. That's not enough. So, well, at least I have that commitment. But anyway, so we're going to do that. And then after breakfast, we're going to move down to Spring Hill Park. And you pray for good weather, but we got a pavilion down there, so whether it's raining or not, we can have fellowship down there, and we're going to have food. We're going to cook out food and that sort of thing there. We want you to come down for fellowship, and Brother Claude has said that he will be there, and he will open up to you the opportunity for you to ask questions. If you have any questions after what you hear at breakfast in the morning, you can talk with him, and we'll be set up there to where you can ask questions if you'd like to. And so we think that would be good. I know it will bless you, and you'll hear more than you'll be able to mentally go away with. But I think he's got some printouts, right?
Yeah,
he's got some printouts that you'll get to keep. So we won't let you be stranded with all that. So we'll have fellowship there, and I don't know what time we'll get out of Western Citizen, but we'll be hurrying that way to the park, and so probably by noon we'll probably be well up and going by then, I think. And there's playground. We got some games and things we want to do with the young and old, the children, anybody that wants to. So we'll do that, and then, of course, we'll be back here tomorrow night at 6. Amen?
Good.
And then Sunday morning, we have 10:30 a.m. service. So we will. That'll be the last of the three services. And then after Sunday morning, we have fellowship lunch, usually back to my house. And I realize that a lot of visitors will have to leave before then. But if you're here, you're welcome. And so that's what we have for this weekend. And so I thank the Lord has started us off really good.
Amen.
And I knew it was going to be good. Brother Daniel and I, we talked about this because of all the fight and the struggle with how Satan
that's
does.
That's exactly the way it works.
To try, and I said, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. That's all there is to it. So we've arrived. We're here now, and there's not any devil, any number of devils, all the devils at all that can stop God
all right.
from doing what he's going to do.
Amen.
Right? And so we can just believe it that way. Let's bow our hearts as we get ready to close. Lord Jesus, as we've just said, Lord, it's been so good to be in your house, Lord, to hear thy word, to hear truth, Lord. God, there's so many places that we could go and so many places we could tune into and set our mind upon, but none of them, Lord, will tell us what we need to hear like we heard tonight. Lord, it is your word that we live by. Every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And Lord, that's what we need to feed on daily. And I ask God that in these meetings, Lord, that if there's anyone that attends the meetings that's had any problem in their life, anything that has kept them from feeding on your word, kept them from having that daily walk and closeness with you, I pray that in these meetings, Lord, those things be removed. And God, that they would go away from this weekend as stronger Christians with a better testimony and a light that would shine. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings and I ask that you would bless each one as they go. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song as we get ready to go.
Hey, Brother Tony, can I say something?
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Okay.
I don't know how many visitors we have here or not, but are you going to go to a restaurant and eat after this?
We probably will. I usually ask the minister where he'd like to go, so we'll find out when we get outside.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If any of the visitors or anybody, if you heard something that you have a question about Brother Ben, if you'll come to the restaurant, I'll buy you supper. How's that? Whoever you are, I don't care, seriously.
Amen.
Even if somebody here in the church comes here locally and you want to go out and eat and fellowship, would you look me up and I'll pay for your supper. Is that okay? Because I want to do that for you. We talked about the end.
Let me just say this good moment to lay something in there. The scriptures said that there would be a fivefold ministry that God would put in the church, and they would be there working to bring this church body to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we reach that point, that body of Christ would be in such a way that every joint and every member would supply the needs of one another. That's what you see happen. Here's a joint or a member of that body that's reaching out to supply the need of someone else so that they might be more knit together with the rest of the body.
That's right.
That's an example of what you're talking about and what the scriptures talk about. And so I would like to, everybody that's here from Bartlesville, I'd like to raise your hand. I'd like the local saints to look around. Okay? This is the saints that are there when we've gone up there and ministered. And we got some Brother Kenneth and Sister Francis from Little Craters Church. God bless you. And then on Monday, this last Monday, there was a family reunion going on, and I was invited to come to. And it was at a Methodist church right over here in the fellowship hall, and I spoke with about, I don't know, 17 or 18 people there, and there was questions that were coming, and so I spent a couple of hours just sharing some of the things that the Lord has done in this day and how he's revealing his word back. And so we have a couple right over here. This sister to the left is actually a cousin of mine, Cassie, and that's her husband. I don't know your name.
James,
okay. Sorry about that. And so they were there, and that's why they're here tonight. So we want to welcome him.
Sure.
James was really excited what he heard, and so I trust that you were blessed tonight with what you heard also. And so just don't stop. Just let the momentum of the word just keep going higher and higher in your life. So one of these days we'll leave out of here like a rocket.
Open the eyes of my heart.